We all have them. Those stories that have been told over and over and over again. Stories we could nearly recite, rote from memory, without hesitation. Stories that become the fabric of our world and how we see the world around us. Often the problem with these stories is that over time, the more we commit those stories to memory, the more we lose sight of their true meaning. We get so focused on the details of the factual blow-by-blow account that we can't recall what the moral of the story was. We even debate the details with others in an effort to get them right, or at least right in our own eyes. In my family, we have countless stories like these. And having four children, the debates can rage on about the facts of the story. So then Shannon took the pen and, no, that wasn't Shannon. Christina was the one who, you're both wrong. I swear, Caitlin was the first when it was absolutely Jessica who started the whole thing. Yet no one stops to ask why the pen was taken in the first place. What was it that started the whole thing going? Today we're hearing the content from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And just like those family stories, there are those who spend their time focusing on the facts as they see them. There is debate about when the letter would have been written. Some accounts place it right after Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, which would have it written around 52 AD. Other sources consider it the first letter Paul wrote, possibly as early as 49 AD. So we could spend countless hours arguing with each other about the who, where, and when of the letter. But doing that takes our focus off of what is truly important. What Paul's message was in the first place, the moral of the story, and why this message in particular is so important right on the heels of Christmas. The Christmas story is another one of those stories, one where we get all caught up in the facts and events to the point of forgetting why it's even such an important thing. Sure, we know it's the birth of Jesus. We know the politics of things happening during that time and who visited the newborn child and why they placed importance on their visit. And we know how the story ends, at least this part of it. But do we let ourselves stop and remember why it matters at all? To do that, we have to step back and look at a larger picture. Prior to Jesus' arrival, in an Old Testament world, the way anyone was seen in a positive light in the eyes of God was through works. Works described in the law as passed on by Moses. Do good, viewed as good. Do something contrary to the law, and you were an outsider. And that was that. But that law enabled a split society. People were sorted into winners and losers based on the law, or at least how people interpreted the law. And not just one law, all law. Jewish law defined people as clean or unclean. Roman law promoted people who were submissive to the actions of the government and penalized those who challenged it. Often, your fate was not something that was in your control at all. So with that understanding, let's return back to Christmas. Was it about angels and shepherds? Was it about magi and an innkeeper? Sure, they all played a role in the story. But that wasn't the story. The story was God opened a new door. One where anyone was reconciled with God. Where all were clean. Where all were embraced by the love, peace, and joy of an eternal kingdom. All because this child on Christmas was sent for a purpose. The real story of Christmas is the story of hope coming to the world. Hope that says we are all welcomed into the family of God. God sent his son, born through a woman and born under the law. This was so he could redeem those under the law so that we could be adopted. Because you are sons and daughters. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Thanks to the birth of Jesus, every one of us has been named and claimed as one of God's own. All of us, part of God's family. And not because a law says we are, because God says we are. Jesus' birth signals a new beginning. One where systems that split us apart and divide us as people are no longer relevant. One where God defines the path to salvation, not human beings. So we celebrate the story. We celebrate the message of hope, peace, joy, and love of Advent. We celebrate the manger and the baby and the visitors. We celebrate it, but how do we honor it? Look a little further into Galatians 4, verses 8 and 9. At the time when you didn't know God, you were enslaved by things that aren't God's by nature. But now, after knowing God, or rather being known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless world system? Do you want to be slaves to it again? The path to the Christmas celebration is in placing God's extravagant welcome above a weak and worthless world system that will allow human beings to make choices that are God's to make. With the birth of a child, we were all welcomed into a common family. Not a perfect family. Not a Cleaver or Cunningham or Full House family. Thankfully, I don't have younger folks in here who I'd have to explain what that meant. But in many ways, it's like our own biological families. The ones with the brother that makes inappropriate comments at the dinner table. The aunt who tries to hide an addiction problem, but everyone in the family knows it's there. The cousin who struggles to make ends meet, yet family members don't find a way to pitch in. And despite all of this, we love them because they are family. And we welcome them in when they come for Christmas dinner, when we celebrate birthdays and grieve at funerals, when they just drop in, unexpected and uninvited. But we often do this out of a feeling of obligation. God's welcome puts all of this to shame. We all follow the invitation to God's family with shortcomings. Many of us ask a lot from God without focusing on what we need to bring to the gathering. And yet God takes us in, all of us in, because the birth of a child, the arrival of something new, created a new life. Listen again from 2 Corinthians 5. Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could be also included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people have ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way, and we got it all wrong. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. It's created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How you ask in Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. We started 2017 with the creation of a new statement of beliefs here at South Killingley Congregational Church, rooted in 1 Thessalonians 5, guiding us to build up hope so that you'll all be in this together. No one left out, and no one left behind. All who trust in the gospel, built up together, no one left out, no one left behind. Our honoring of Christmas is in accepting the gift of extravagant welcome given to us openly by God, and offering it to as many others as we can possibly find. And yet even today, we find ourselves not quite there. This year, 2017 alone, 68 unique people have visited this church. How many of them have each of us talked to? How many have we touched base with before or after service? How many have we reached out to during the week? Between services, to see what their thoughts were, to ask how we could be there for them. You see, God's never stopped welcoming each of us. When we've disappointed God, we've been welcomed back just as openly as when we sought to serve in mission. When we've experienced joy, God celebrated with us too. And all God asks of us is to believe, repent, and commit to working toward getting it right. And as the Christmas story tells us, getting it right starts with making God's family, the entire family, feel welcome. No cliques, no clean and unclean, no saints and sinners. Just all of us trying to figure it out one day at a time. When we set aside the debate over the sequence and focus on the reason the Christmas story really matters, we find a truly amazing gift, both to be received and, more importantly, to be freely given. God has welcomed all of us. Now it's our turn. We need to be this community and welcome even more people. Because this welcome belongs to all of God's children. We've got around 20,000 or so just here in Killingly to welcome in. But we can start with just a few. Look around you. Who here have you not welcomed recently? Who can you check in with this week to see how we can help them live a more rewarding life? Let's say we have a pretty busy year ahead.